Hey guys, I'm Valerie.
And I'm Jasmine, and this is Crafts, Drafts, and Crime.
Today, we are going international for our case, and it is a typical case of horrors, so don't be excited about the traveling part of this. And we are going to be talking about Nurin Jaslin. The sources for today are the Star News Online, The Age Australia, The News Straight Times, National Ankasawin Program, Asia One, Sinarharian, and Sukasociety.org. I do want to give a quick few triggers for the episode, which are going to include sexual assault and rape, child sexual assault and rape. On the morning of September 17th, 2007, a shop supervisor in Petaling Jaya, Malaysia, discovered a gym bag in front of the staircase to the shop. She thought it might belong to the owner who had just returned from out of town. The manager came by 30 minutes later, and he didn't recognize the bag. So, confused, he unzipped it to see what it was inside. When he saw legs, he called the police. Inside of the bag was a child's naked body in the fetal position.
Damn, you weren't lying. God.
Yes. And I want to give a quick trigger warning. If you don't want to hear the exact condition here, I would recommend skipping forward just about 15 seconds. The girl appeared to be between ages 6 and 9. She had bruises on her hands and neck, and she had a cucumber and an eggplant stuffed into her genital area. Her rectum had ruptured from this torture. I can't see your face, but I can imagine your face right now. Are you covering your mouth?
I just, my mouth is wide open and my brows are furrowed and I don't want to be here right now.
So police immediately thought of a missing girl from Kuala Lumpur, Nurin Jaslin binti Jasmin. 8-year-old Nurin was reported missing on August 20th, 2007. She went to a wet market, which is where they sell like meats and things, any kind of market, to buy a new hair clip, but she never returned. Most concerning, Nurin had a kidney ailment which required medication. A week later, when police finally started an investigation, yes, that's right, a week later, they recovered CCTV footage that showed Nurin being dragged into a white van the night that she went missing. So Nurin's parents were brought in to potentially identify the girl that had now been found in the gym bag. Unfortunately, the picture of the little girl's face in the bag is easy to accidentally stumble across. So I do want to warn everybody of that. If you do Google this case, be careful.
You know, I usually Google it while you're talking, and I'm so glad I decided not to.
Yes, I should start the case like that from now on. Like, definitely don't do that if that's not something you want to see. It's something I saw, and it's shocking. When Nurin's parents got to the morgue to look at the girl, they didn't recognize her. The girl's body had scars that they didn't recognize, and there was a gap in her teeth that Nurin didn't have. The girl also didn't have a scar that occurs from children in Malaysia who receive a BCG vaccine for tuberculosis. This led police to think that it's possible that the girl was a foreigner. Either that, or she was an illegal immigrant. This worried them because now they were thinking someone may not come forward because of fear of deportation. And at the time, no other missing persons reports fit the young girl's description. The duffel bag was sent off for forensic testing to see if anything else could be found, like fingerprints. Investigators did find strands of hair that were not a match to the little girl's inside. On September 20th, 2007, the DNA results came back for the child, who was then positively identified as 8-year-old Nurin Jaslin. Her parents refused to believe that that was their daughter. Nurin's father, Jasmine Abdul Jalil, said of it, quote, "I know my daughter better than anyone else. My heart is saying the body is not my daughter. If the police ask me to take the body, I will accept, and I will perform the funeral rites and bury it. But I want the police to pursue the search for Nurin because I know Nurin is still out there safe." And he thought that in part because he had been receiving text messages from someone that Nurin was safe.
I don't like this. Stop talking to me.
But the DNA didn't lie. The girl in the bag was Nurin. So that means that the unrecognizable scars, teeth, assault, and injuries to the little girl had all happened while she was being held captive. The autopsy could not provide an exact time of death, but it could confirm that it was more than 6 hours before her body was found, and not much more than that. Her official cause of death was a bacterial infection caused by her intestines being ruptured, which occurred during the sexual assault. But they also believe that strangulation was highly involved. Her parents were heartbroken, and people across the nation were outraged. Because, first of all, that is disgusting. That's like the most disgusting kind of abuse you can do to a child.
That is heinous on so many levels, and it's monstrous. It's all of the above. And the fact that this little girl's intestines were ruptured because of how brutal this sexual assault was, it just speaks volumes. Like, already whoever did it was a monster, but like the force behind that to do that internally to her shows how much even more of a despicable person they are.
Absolutely, I agree. So people began discussing her case through internet blogs and trying to uncover any detail that might bring her killer to justice. And this led to discussion that she was potentially a victim of a serial offender. I want to give another quick trigger warning here. In the 3 months prior to Nurin's death, two other incidents that are really similar occurred. A 6-year-old girl was kidnapped from a mosque and raped, but was released with a vegetable forced into her genital area. Another 5-year-old girl in the area had a similar experience also. Both of these girls were taken on a motorcycle by a single male suspect who promised them ice cream for helping find a missing cat. And I want to say this for the millionth time, please teach your kids that adults don't need their help. Please, please, please.
All I'm going to say is, my child will never help anybody. I don't care if it's another kid, an adult. I don't give a fuck who you are. If somebody asks you for help, you come get your mom or your dad.
Yes.
And then we'll help them.
Yes. So starting at square one, police looked at CCTV footage in the area of the shop to try to get a time frame of when this bag arrived there. The day before the bag was found, police have footage of a woman sitting near the shop around 2 p.m. with the bag in sight. They see her talking with 3 men who arrive by car before getting into a car with them. Zooming in on this time frame, investigators see at about 1 p.m. a motorcycle pulls up outside of the shop. He is on his phone and retrieves a duffel bag from an unseen location. He is seen walking with it and then returning to his motorcycle without it. A composite sketch of the motorcyclist was made thanks to a witness, a man who had been approached by him about renting a vacant unit there. The suspect told the man that he had a daughter and was afraid that she would be molested, which is just a really weird thing to say to a potential landlord.
Right, exactly. Like, oh yeah, I'm interested in this house, but I'm worried that my kid's gonna get molested, so is it safe?
It's just...
like, that's just weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. Anyway, they agreed on rental terms, but the man never came back. On September 28th, thanks to a tip, 5 people were arrested on suspicion of connection to the murder and torture of Nurin. They were 4 males and 1 woman who was believed to be the woman in the CCTV footage. They were all aged between 27 and 35 years old. One of the men had previously been implicated on more than 1 rape case, but lack of evidence led to him never being charged. Upon the arrest, the police took all 5 of the suspect's cell phones and seized 2 vehicles. After questioning, the woman was released. The next day, on September 29th, another woman was arrested. She was the girlfriend of one of the 4 implicated men. Upon questioning, police discovered that the 23-year-old was an illegal immigrant from Indonesia. She had 2 prepaid phones and 4 SIM cards. One of these phones had been used to call police and text Nurin's parents.
Shut the fuck up.
Yep. She is believed to have been feeding Nurin during her captivity. While seizing these phones and SIM cards, the woman swallowed one of the SIM cards. Like in her mouth. Swallowed it. What the actual fuck?
I'm rendered speechless at this point.
I mean, that's not the most shocking of the things that she's done so far.
No, but it's just like, already, this whole case, I'm just done. Like, I've checked out because it's just so fucking heinous.
It is. So, they did x-rays and they tried to flush the SIM card out of her because police believed that there was incriminating evidence on that SIM card, which there has to be, because otherwise why the fuck did she swallow it?
Right, exactly.
And also, it reminds me, in case anybody needs a little bit of a palate cleanser, if anybody's ever watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they eat the contract, this is my only TV reference I ever have, give it to me. They're just trying to say that the contract doesn't exist and they just eat it. It's perfect. Like, that's exactly what this reminds me of.
I'm going to go watch that.
So, after 5 days in the hospital, they finally get the SIM card out of her system. And there are no other reports that I can find regarding this SIM card, which leads me to believe that it was damaged as they had anticipated. And you would think, I mean, SIM cards, theoretically, in your stomach acid would completely be destroyed.
I hope they, like, fucking pried her mouth open and poured so much fucking Miralax down her throat. I hope she shit for months after that.
Honestly, it's the very least of what she would deserve. The four men were held for 7 more days, but ultimately were released because they had nothing to hold them on. CCTV footage was enhanced to try to identify license plates or faces because it was really pixelated. And they were trying to see if they could put any of these people at the scene where the bag containing Nurin's body was. But they couldn't get a clear enough image to properly identify anybody. The woman, the one who swallowed the SIM card, was arrested for being an illegal immigrant, but never for anything in regards to Nurin. So, they knew that that phone had been used to text her parents. And that doesn't necessarily mean, because people all the time, if you think about it, and this is sick and I can't believe I have to say it, but people all the time contact families of people who have gone through tragedy, even though they have nothing to do with it, because they are sick fucks. I don't know how you could just let somebody go. How is that not, like, and see, that's the thing, is they had nothing to hold her on just because they can prove that she had contacted the parents. I don't know exactly what these messages said. Like, was there anything incriminating on them? Because there had to have been, because her dad thought that she was alive.
Right. It's like, this should be a crime. It's like you're giving these families false hope. You're speaking on things you don't know or you do know. Like, you're toying with these people. And, like, the last bit of emotions that they have that they're holding on to for their child. And you're sitting there and you're playing games.
Right. Or maybe she's trying to comfort the family. Maybe she didn't know that they were going to kill Nurin. And I just, first of all, like, a million, like, just fucking contact the authorities. Like, if you are, like, feeling, like, any sort of guilt in that way and that's why you're contacting them, fucking call the police. But also, I just, like, I don't know. I feel like that has to be a punishable offense, at least in the United States. And this is where this is tricky. We're talking about Malaysia. I have no idea how that works there. But I would love if somebody could tell me here in the United States, if you have text messages that you have been holding somebody's daughter who was missing and later found deceased, you could be convicted of that crime, certainly, right?
It's like you're an accomplice, is what I would think.
I feel like you'd have to have some sort of charge. Like, I mean, I need somebody to tell me, because if the answer is no, and I tried Googling this and I don't really know what I'm Googling. Like, So please, I hope that somebody who listens to this has some kind of knowledge on this. Please tell us so that we can tell everybody. Because what the actual fuck? All these people were just released. And I understand that they couldn't hold the men because they didn't have any proof. And that is just, how? How? How did they have no proof? And then it gets worse. Don't worry. To add insult to injury, Nurin's parents were accused of negligence, which is punishable under Malaysia's Child Act of 2001. So in short, this says that parents found guilty of leaving their children can be fined 500 ringgits, which is about $1,200 US, or jailed up to 2 years, or both. So they're saying that because they let her daughter go out and about, their 8-year-old daughter, and she was able to go to the market and get kidnapped, so that's negligent on the parents' part.
I mean, that's great, you know? Fuck the other guys that who could have potentially raped and sodomized this poor little girl and killed her. Let's just find the parents. I mean, because that's the only, like, people we can actually put anything on. You guys were obviously negligent. So here you go. Fuck you guys.
Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? Right.
It's fucking idiotic.
And fortunately, this led to public outcry and objection, because how on earth could you keep all four? They have four kids. So what? They're supposed to be in your, like, in front of your eyes every moment of the day until they're 19, 18, excuse me. Like, how the actual fuck does that work? Like, so if something happens to your child while they're at school, does that happen? Like, it's just, it's a really fucking stupid law. I understand to have a law due to negligence, but I mean, come on. Are there no bounds to that law? Like, so fortunately they didn't end up being charged, but can you imagine grieving your child who was brutally murdered and then being accused of negligence? And not even just being accused of it, but being potentially fined and jailed for it when you have three other kids.
I couldn't even imagine that. That's like a parent's worst nightmare.
Yes. So this case is still open. In 2020, CCTV footage was sent to the U.S. to be looked at to see if they have technology here to enhance it enough to implicate somebody. Since Nurin's death, Malaysia has put in place their version of the U.S. Amber Alert, which was originally called the Nurin Alert, but has since been renamed to the NUR Alert, which stands for National Urgent Response. So at least that came out of this. But oh my gosh, there are no updates currently on that CCTV footage, and I really hope that we do have the technology here to be able to enhance that enough for an indictment, because it's fucking ridiculous.
I feel like there is somebody out there that we can maybe reach, that this just whole thing could possibly reach, that can fucking do this. How many, like fucking hackers are out there, and like anything that could sit there and enhance these photos so well, like it's there. We've got to have somebody.
I feel like that too, and I definitely think that we're probably significantly more advanced than Malaysia in that regard. Not certain right. places, but Malaysia, yeah. And that's why they sent it to us, and I really hope that they can figure something out with that, because the fact that they might have had five people, and they might have had photo evidence on that SIM card that woman swallowed.
Right.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
She should have definitely been held, like kept for, like, tampering with evidence or something.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. Don't
care what the fuck was on there. That's what you were looking for?
I mean, it's one of the many things that crossed my mind, yes.
Right. That's exactly, like, one of the main reasons she should be in jail.
Right. Right. I mean, I don't understand how literally nothing has been done about it. I mean, just in that regard. So it kind of feels, I mean, and to start out with, that the police didn't even do anything for 7 days. Like, you're already off on a terrible foot. And then.
Exactly.
And then we're going to do nothing with what we're given. We're just going to say, okay, well, we tried to get the SIM card out of her. We finally got it out of her. Can't do anything. Guess we just got to let her go. Like, how did you know that she had contacted the police from that SIM card? Like, clearly you have something.
Right, exactly. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, you either got shit or you don't shit.
Right.
Or you don't got shit.
Or you don't shit. Anyways, I hope that this didn't enrage anybody so much that it ruined their day, but I hope it enraged you enough to look more into Nurin Jaslyn and I don't even know, and share her story, because this is one that it doesn't circulate very much and it's a huge deal. She is the reason that their version of the Amber Alert exists. It's a huge deal and she has not received justice. So if you want to see pictures from this episode or find any more information and to contact us, you can do all of those things on our website at
crashdraftsandcrime.com.
We would love to hear your opinions. Thank you guys for listening as always. And until next time, bye.
Bye.